The views and content expressed on the following program are provided solely for informational and entertainment purposes. They do not constitute legal advice. A podcast is not a substitute for retaining a competent, licensed attorney to advise you on your specific legal situation. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. It is time for Break the Business, where we empower indie creators and have some fun along the way. I'm Ryan Carella, and it is a pleasure to have you here this week. We got ourselves a program tonight, folks. I am just giddy. I love these shows where I just glance at my show sheet here, and I just see so many things to do. I see a packed agenda. And every single one of these things, I'm like, ooh, I'm excited to do that. Ooh, I'm excited to tell the viewers and listeners about that. It's going to be a blast this week, folks. I mean, it's, oh gosh, so many, 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 many cool things to talk about. In the second segment of the show, we're going to be joined by Jack Anker, aka Mama B. She's a music executive. She's a children's artist. My favorite genre of music these days is a new dad. I love children's music that is good, right? Because there's so much children's music out there that just will make your ears bleed. So when I come across a children's music artist and the music slaps like it does with Mama B, I get pretty excited. And obviously, I want to let you all know about this music because she's going to have some great advice too. So that's going to happen in the second segment. We got Mama B joining us. In the first segment, in a little bit, we're going to be joined by some folks from Unify Space Agency. They're going to be celebrating, or getting us to celebrate, National Astronaut Day on May 5th, and also the inaugural launch of the Astronaut Rockstar Awards. Boy, Ryan, what's the Astronaut Rockstar Awards? That sounds pretty rad. Yeah, that's a pretty cool award show. It's doing its inaugural thing. If you don't know what that is yet, because you haven't been able to look it up, we're going to tell you all about it. But I know from the name, just hearing Astronaut Rockstar Awards, every single one of those words sounds awesome, and you put them together and it's more awesome. So I know you're intrigued and you're going to want to hear more about it. And so we're going to be joined a little bit later by Annie, Dee Dee, and Michelle from Unify Space Agency. They're going to tell us all about this amazing award show that celebrates the connection between space exploration, who doesn't love that, and music and STEAM education, who doesn't love that? So that's coming up a little bit later. But before we get to any of that, got to bring in our co-host this week. Speaking of just awesome people to be excited about chatting with, Katie Zaccardi's here. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Ryan.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have a blast this week. And it starts off with getting to chat with you, which already puts a smile on my face. Whenever I bring you on, Katie, I know I want to have some good Katie Zaccardi material, which means I got to have some Taylor Swift stuff to talk to you about, and I got to have some TikTok stuff to talk to you about, and I got both here for you. First, yeah. I wanted to let you know, Katie, as a bit of a epilogue from our last discussion when we had you on a month ago, we were talking about the Taylor Swift course that they're creating at the University of Miami.
Yes.
That's all about Taylor Swift and advertising. And you were excited about it, and I was excited about it. And I wanted to let you know, on May 23rd, on the May 23rd episode of Break the Business, we're going to be having on Dr. Elise Lancaster, the professor of that class.
That's exciting.
Yeah, to talk all about the class, talk about the great, why she thinks that Taylor Swift is a great jumping off point to teach a lot of great concepts in marketing and advertising. Imagine the advice she's going to have for the audience out there. That's very cool. So I know you're intrigued about that. Let me talk to you about TikTok, because since you and I last spoke, Katie, TikTok's been busy. TikTok's been doing a lot of things, and a lot of things have been done to TikTok. I mean, in just the last week, TikTok and Universal Music Group finally ended their epic feud, in which UMG pulled all of its music off of the TikTok platform, which meant about, you know, a quarter of the music was being muted on TikTok, which was significantly affecting the user experience.
Right.
I mean, if I can't hear Noah Kahan on TikTok anymore, that's a big deal for me.
What's the point?
What's the point? I need to hear the Dial Drunk on like every freaking song and Stick Season and stuff. And, you know, Olivia Rodrigo and all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, Good fortune has smiled upon us. UMG and TikTok have resolved their dispute. They have struck a deal to bring Universal Music Group's music back to the TikTok platform. In a joint statement, they said, quote, that the deal is going to deliver improved remuneration for UMG's songwriters and artists, new promotional and engagement opportunities for their recordings and songs, and industry-leading protections with respect to generative AI. Reading between the lines there, it just means that I think they probably are going to pay UMG a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. None of that money is going to actually make it into the pockets of UMG artists, but at least our experience on TikTok will be a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that they hammered out this deal not a week after President Biden and Congress effectively put TikTok on life support by saying, by passing the law that says to TikTok, you have a year to find somebody to buy ByteDance's interest in TikTok, to basically sell, you know, the Chinese company's interest in TikTok.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that within a year, TikTok is going to be banned in the United States. I mean, this must have come as a shock to you and perhaps even like bummed you out a bit as somebody who I know is an avid TikToker.
Shock is maybe not the right word, given that they've been trying to do this for 4 years now.
Yeah, but I never thought they'd actually go through with it.
I agree with you.
I thought it was all saber rattling. I did.
I agree with you. And I also think it is that it's so frustrating to me because it's like, do we not have bigger fish to fry? Why are you coming back to this? So I was, I guess, surprised that at this current juncture, they seem to pull it together in Congress, which they cannot do for anything else except to rip TikTok from our hands when we need it the most.
Yeah.
Huge bummer. And to my knowledge, maybe you know differently than I know, but like, I feel like the U.S. positions it as like, no worries, man. TikTok's not going away unless they don't sell. But like, no worries. They just need to sell TikTok and then all is well. But what I feel like they're not really saying the out loud part is like, TikTok doesn't want to sell.
Yeah.
Like TikTok doesn't want to do that. Like they might not do that. They're not going to do that. Yeah. So it's not
yes, exactly. That was what, when I saw that this went through Congress, my thought was, I was like, you can't get anything through Congress. You can't get Congress. You can't get a majority in Congress to vote on ice cream being delicious. Like you're not going to get. You're not going to get proven on that, but they got TikTok banned. Yes.
First of all, Ryan, like we are on the same wavelength because I literally was about to say, where is like National Ice Cream Day? Like they won't even vote on. We're both thinking ice cream. Anyway, we're on the same wavelength.
Because, you know, it's late at night and this is usually when I'm eating ice cream, but unfortunately I'm doing a radio show instead. But in my head, I'm eating ice cream. I mean, there are a few different scenarios for how this ends, for how this looks. But I would say, at the bottom of the list of things that will happen, and I could be wrong about this. In fact, when I usually make predictions on this show, I'm wrong. So take this for what you will. But I think among the least likely scenarios is that TikTok actually gets sold.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because the argument is, oh, well, why don't you just sell your interest in TikTok? And it's like, well, do you see Facebook like selling its branding to allow Facebook to operate in China? Or is Google selling its interest to allow Google to operate in China? No, like, you know, there are so many things they would rather do than sell their interest in this platform at what's going to be a very steep discount, right? Because the people who would buy TikTok know that TikTok has to choose between selling to us or shutting down in the US, which is going to kind of hurt TikTok's value in the market. And so I think there are a few likely scenarios I think are more likely. One, which I tend to think is the most likely scenario, is I think there's at least a decent argument that a court is going to hold that this law violates the First Amendment.
Interesting. I didn't think there were any loopholes, really. I thought we were kind of done, but this is okay.
No, there is absolutely a credible First Amendment argument here. You know, TikTok is a place where people engage in discourse. Creating a platform where people are engaging in discourse and then the government shutting that down,
yeah,
that could absolutely be an infringement upon speech.
And honestly, I think that is like the most, despite it being addictive and entertaining, I actually think that that's going to be one of the more disappointing things.
Yeah.
That would happen with if TikTok goes away. Like, I cannot explain how much I learn from that stupid app. Like, it's crazy. I mean, and I have to be honest, I use it as a search engine now. Like, I've been getting into plants, houseplants, and I just like search in TikTok. I'm like, how to do plants. Like, and it tells me, like, you know, and then don't even get me started on the political discourse and just like how much you can be informed in that way. And it's a whole different experience than you get on the news channels and on any other social media platform. So I would be really, really curious to see if someone will make a case for that. And again, like how it would hold up, because I agree. It's like, this is my right to information and it's also my right to speak.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
A First Amendment claim is inevitable. I mean, a ByteDance, TikTok, whoever's going to make it, like there's going to be a lawsuit. There's no way that this business goes down without a fight. And yeah. So I think the most likely scenario is that there is a successful First Amendment lawsuit that keeps TikTok alive in the United States in some form. Second most likely is TikTok shuts down in the U.S. because I think they would sooner shut down than the third most likely scenario, which is that they actually sell their interest, because they're not going to want to sell their interest at a time when, you know, their value is going to be significantly depressed because they have to choose between selling and dying. But, you know, and again, I'm also not privy to the national security concerns, right? A lot of the legislators who voted for this, including who's that guy, Jeff Johnson, the North Carolina congressman who's very popular on TikTok and took a lot of flack from TikTokers because he voted for this bill. They're like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're the TikTok congressman. And what he came out and said is like, guys, you haven't seen what I seen. Like, if you could read the reports that I read about just how much of a danger this platform is to national security, you'd vote for what I voted for too. And so I'm not privy to all of that stuff. And so I am sympathetic to that view. But at the same time, I also don't discount the value that this platform has had for independent creators and, you know, for creating a fandom, for creating an audience. It has launched a lot of music careers lately. It has created a new generation of indie creator stars that didn't exist before. And so I'm going to regret losing that part of the platform. And also, you know, it is a place where a lot of really important discourse happens. A lot of young people are becoming more engaged in politics and policy than they ever did before because of this platform existing. And, you know, I mean, again, I haven't seen like the national security issues, and I'm not saying they don't exist, but I will be sad if we lose this really valuable platform for augmenting the careers of independent creators and augmenting the national discourse.
I agree. And it feels like, again, it's coming at a really bad time. Like, we're in an election year. This is like not a good time for us to be losing the ability to connect with each other in that way. To that end, though, my dog is trying to get on camera right now.
I love live radio. Hi, doggy. Oh my goodness.
You say, yeah, my mom actually, she had a burger and I'm trying to get it.
For the radio audience, Katie's really, really freaking cute dog just entered the platform. And oh my gosh, aren't you just the best little dog?
He is the best little dog.
What kind of breed is that?
He is a Cavapoo. He's mostly poodle, but he's got a little bit of Cavalier in him.
Oh my goodness. He just got
a little haircut, so he's super handsome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you got to get, I mean, if you're going to get groomed, like obviously you got to make your TV appearance while you're looking the most fly. So that's fabulous. Yeah. That dog, everybody knows that Break the Business has a longstanding rule that pets jumping into the camera are always welcome here. And so like whenever cats or dogs jump into the shot, we just love that around here. So
yeah, I was feeding him a sweet potato and then he was glaring at me for more, even though there is no more. But one, if we have time, I do have one more question to pose you, which is, do you think that there is any possibility that someone, TikTok gets banned and then somebody will create an app that's like almost a clone of TikTok, but is American owned that everyone can just migrate to? And I say that with the caveat knowing that Instagram basically already has Reels, but let's be honest, Reels sucks and is not the same experience as TikTok is.
I mean, at least for me, it doesn't quite hit the same as scrolling through TikTok. Something does about it? That algo. You know, they're just mining our data so much better than Instagram Reels is. I don't know. But, you know, I do think that's probably what would happen is that you're going to see a growth in Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts just because there are the already existing domestic options. And you know, life will go on. I think that's probably more likely than a new player coming into the space and, you know, being able to do it better than Facebook and YouTube would.
I don't want to go to Reels. I don't want to.
Don't make me do it.
Don't make me go to Instagram.
Exactly. Oh, although, I mean, talk about coming full circle, right? Like all the young people having to come to like the old people Facebook platform.
No.
And just...
No.
That's what's going to happen. But don't worry. This isn't the last we have heard of this story for sure. Because, you know, this TikTok saga is going to take at least a year to unfold, and we're going to keep track of it. Daniel LaRuta writes in, we've talked about TikTok, how TikTok at its best accidentally pays indie creator. So other than economically, how would you say it augments indie creators? Look, it's a perfectly fair point. Now, when I get up here cheerleading for what TikTok means for independent creators, it's not because they are the world's greatest platform in terms of creator payouts. In fact, when it comes to paying out creators, TikTok is one of the worst offenders of big tech.
Yeah.
Spotify, of all things, pays better than TikTok does by a factor of like 1,000. So,
and we know how much we love Spotify.
Yeah. And so like, I mean, so yeah, it's like if Spotify is like kicking your butt in terms of paying creators, that is a bad benchmark to be on the wrong side of. I mean, but I also don't discount the fact that there are creators who've been able to use the platform to move their careers forward, certainly not being compensated by the platform directly, right? But they are finding their way to brand deals. They're finding their way to putting out music that makes it up the charts. You know, like, I mean, we talked about Noah Kahan before, right? Yeah. Noah Kahan is a big star now in music. He's touring. He's working with Post Malone. And pretty much his entire career is owed to TikTok. He got his start on that platform. He wrote the song Stick Season by just making videos of him writing that song in real time. And people got super into it and made that song a hit through TikTok. Did he get rich through TikTok directly? God, no. But everything that he has, including his record deal and his success as a musician, comes through that platform.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, I don't love the idea of artists getting paid in exposure because like that kind of sucks.
We don't recommend that in any other way. But TikTok kind of is that platform of just like the exposure actually can give you dividends. Either you're not going to get paid at all because you're not getting any views, so you wouldn't get paid at all, or you build a fan base and you end up getting paid in other ways and you don't need money from the platform because you're having all these other opportunities.
Yeah. And, you know, but to Daniel Neruda's point, I hate the fact that I have to defend TikTok because they are not the most sympathetic client. Okay. You know, like the fact that like I have to defend TikTok because like in this battle with UMG where I'm saying UMG is being a little unreasonable by not striking a deal with TikTok. And it's like, yeah, because UMG is not paying its artists, but neither is TikTok. Like neither of these companies are paying their artists. And like TikTok probably is stealing our data. And TikTok, you know, is probably doing a lot of terrible, sketchy national security things. And so I don't love that I have to cape up for them. But like, I also do love any platform that we can get that is introducing independent creators to the world and giving them audiences they wouldn't have before. So I'm torn with that.
Yeah. It's like, what else do indie musicians have? Like, so much has changed in the music industry. This is like one of the best free tools that they can use to get themselves out there. Completely objectively. So but there's a lot.
But
yeah, it's murky.
But they can use murky, Instagram but... Reels, Katie, no, the no. mega blocks of short form video.
I would like to see, like, if somebody actually has blown up because of Instagram Reels, a musician specifically, like, please, like, come talk to me. Like, I want to see it. I don't believe it.
To happier subjects, Katie, I am pretty excited for what we got coming on here. I didn't know if you know this, Katie. I did not know this until pretty dang recently, but May 5th is National Astronaut Day. And when I think of holidays that I'm pretty excited to celebrate, National Astronaut Day is one of them. I love astronauts and space travel and any sort of science fiction that involves space. It speaks to me. And so anything that comes along that can combine my love for all things astronauts with music is something that I'm all about. And that's what we're getting right now, because on May 5th, National Astronaut Day, the UNIFI Space Agency, which is an organization that represents a bunch of astronauts, gets them speaking engagements and things like that, is going to be launching the inaugural Astronaut Rockstar Awards, which is like the greatest title I've ever heard. Every single word in that is awesome. This is an award that honors people that help forge the connection between space exploration, music, and STEAM education. I want to learn more about this. I want to see how this award show comes together. And thankfully, we don't have to speculate, Katie, because we have here joining us Annie Bolero, Dee Dee Carney, and Michelle Lucas from UNIFI Space Agency to talk all about this amazing award show. Annie, Dee Dee, Michelle, thank you all for being on Break the Business. Hello to you all.
Hey, Ryan and Katie.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
I am thrilled to have you. This is going to be a blast. I love space stuff. This is cool. The first thing I want to talk to you about before we talk about the Astronaut Rockstar Awards, which again, really cool name for just anything, is the kind of the philosophy of the awards in terms of just celebrating the connection between astronauts and space travel and music, because there is a connection there. It does exist. What, you know, I think of so many different ways that music and space travel have connected together over the years. Like, we have the gold record that's on the Voyager probe that's just constantly playing music throughout deep space. I remember an old YouTube video I watched about 10 years ago of the astronaut Chris Hadfield singing Space Oddity in space and just thinking that was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Recently, your organization helped a piano artist, Blackbach, who's actually been on Break the Business before, perform a live piano duet with astronaut Michael Lopez Alegria. And so, I mean, we see this over and over again, music and space travel coming together so beautifully. Let me just ask you all, we'll start with you, Annie, why do we see this? What is it about music and space travel that just causes it to go so well together?
It's so funny. Thank you very much for having us, as Michelle said. And the answer is really simple. It's all just inspiration. And it's very funny, too, because we always like to say that all the astronauts respect, love, and want to be the rock stars, and all the rock stars love, respect, and want to be the astronauts. And there's so much cross-pollination in that inspiration. And when you think about when astronauts are training, when they're on their journey to the station, when they're up there on the station, music is a huge part of that journey. And if you look today too, we had a lot of fun going through a lot of the research on how many musicians over the years today, pretending to be astronauts in videos, writing about going to space, dressing up as astronauts, you know, right now on stage. It's really, really remarkable. So for us, National Astronaut Day, especially because at UNIFI, we manage also artists. So we have a cross. And by the way, we do manage Blackbach. So I was not aware that he was on the show. So thank you very much. As a matter of fact, I'm probably speaking from the same room that he was in, because and Dee Dee is also based in Boston. We did a lot of interviews from here at UGWWHQ, the music room. So anyway, thank you for that support. But in a nutshell, it's just it all fits. And really, whether you're an astronaut creating inspiration or a musician creating inspiration, it's all just inspirational, creative people that have a vision and want to share that vision. And I hope and believe make the world better for everybody.
I can definitely see how musicians are inspired by astronauts. Heck, we're all inspired by astronauts, right? And so, right, when I see music videos of artists pretending to be astronauts or artists singing songs about space travel or things like that. That makes sense to me. But talk to me about the flip side, since you're around astronauts so often. We'll ask Michelle this question. Michelle, you know, as somebody who's around astronauts so often, why is the flip side true? Why are astronauts so inspired by musicians?
Well, music is something that we all connect with, right? It's this great connect point. It's a way to tell a story. It's a piece of the journey. And music is something that you hear it and it immediately, something clicks for you, right? And so we've had the longstanding tradition with the space shuttle. Every single day, the crew was woke up by a wake-up song that was chosen by either the flight controllers on the ground, family members, and they were songs that were important to these astronauts for some reason. And so there becomes that connect point. Let's also face it. Astronauts, people are like, oh, it'd be awesome to be an astronaut. You hear the term, oh, what a rock star. People want to be rock stars. So you kind of have these two upper echelons. But I think the great thing about music is it connects us all. Whether we're here on the planet or off the planet. And there have been so many great connect points for that. People always think of astronauts as simply being very engineering focused. And many of them do have a great engineering background. But music is something that ties us all and ties us to the planet.
That makes a lot of sense to me. And I would imagine that that unifying thread between these two fields is what inspired you all to set up the Astronaut Rockstar Awards. The inaugural edition of this award show is going to be on May 5th, National Astronaut Day. Dee Dee, love to ask you about this award show. What is the goal of the awards? How is it set up? How are we celebrating astronauts and music together?
Well, I'll speak to a little bit about this. I think Annie can probably take it over the finish line, but the brilliant team came up with these different award levels. The Diamond Award, the Platinum Award, and the Gold Awards. Each award has different meanings. One, the Diamond Award celebrates this year. Well, actually, we can't say, right? Because it gets announced tomorrow. So I can't say who it is.
Oh, man. I was so close to getting y'all to announce the winners on this show.
Oh, wait a minute. Like, when are you? When does this air?
This is live.
Oh, it's live. Never mind.
But,
I'm sorry.
But no. But it's not. Don't worry. Most of the people who listen to this are going to listen to it later on the radio the following Monday. So, like, if you leak it now, it's okay.
Don't do it, Dee Dee. Said it.
Oh, okay. I'm not gonna do it.
Smooth talking lawyer trying to get it out of you.
So I can't say much, but the awards will be delivered in very unique and exciting ways. And we'll tie in actual rock stars.
Oh, I love this. Yeah, you do have the three different awards, right? Because you have gold, diamond, and platinum. So without telling us who's going to win, because I guess you can't reveal that information on the show, can you talk about like the distinction between each of the awards? Because they're all kind of awarding different subject areas within this idea of music and space travel and STEAM.
Sure, absolutely. And if you don't mind, I'd actually like to just tell you why we thought of this idea, maybe to start on the high end of that question.
Yeah.
So we all have different plaques on our walls. You probably see behind Michelle, she's got a lot of space stuff on her wall. Dee Dee's got her rock and roll stuff. And I was recently putting up a bunch of my music industry plaques, and I was looking at the wall, and we were talking about National Astronaut Day. And it's year 8, and we've always known as a team that we had to evolve the program. National Astronaut Day, because of the incredible support we've had from the industry at large, media, astronauts, rock stars, just on and on, it's now really baked in as a key part of our culture. So I was putting all these plaques up, and I was like, I have all these cool music awards for music. I have plaques for these artists for doing philanthropic work. Why don't I have any space plaques on my wall? What is going on? And really, like, if MTV can give moon men to rock stars, why can't we give music plaques to astronauts? So that is really how the whole concept came about. And that's where we borrowed, I would say, you know, what is that? They say imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So that's where we borrowed the diamond, platinum, and gold. The Diamond Award is reserved for legacy astronauts. So many of these folks will have passed, but they really were the original trailblazers to pave the way for where we are today. The Platinum Award is really about a current an astronaut that's here today, but really has helped foster interest and awareness for space exploration in general. That's really important to us. And there have been so many milestones that have happened. And I'm going to let Shelley take the Gold Award.
And the Gold Award is intended, you know, we started as a grassroots effort to do really big out of this world things with National Astronaut Day. And we are a big believer in STEM and STEAM education. And so the Gold Award goes to an individual group or organization that is a little bit more grassroots or a student or something of that nature that are working to bring space into their communities and further the next generation of STEMists through that. And so that's who the Gold Awards will go to.
Oh, wow. This is so very, very exciting. I can't be the only person within the sound of my voice who loves that there is an event like this that brings these two amazing things together that equally inspire our sense of wonder. For the people who want to dive into this, who want to learn more about it, who want to see who the winners of these awards are, where do they go?
Dee, you want to take it?
Well, they can go to, is it Unify Space? I'm sorry.
That's okay. NationalAstronautDay.com.
NationalAstronautDay.com.
Or you can go to Break the Business Podcast, because I'm sure that in the feed somewhere there'll be a link once we get that over to you guys. And there will be, if all goes according to plan, you're going to start seeing this in lots of different places as well, especially once we start amplifying with the winners and the bands that will be involved, et cetera. So, But NationalAstronautDay.com is a really good kind of baseline to go there. And we'll have some things posted, especially by Sunday, which is National Astronaut Day.
Well, fabulous. And here's what I can say in terms of Break the Business's involvement with this. I want this to be an annual thing. If you all are willing, we'd love to have you come around every like late April, May-ish, so we can celebrate National Astronaut Day and the Astronaut Rockstar Awards every year, because there are about 1,000 questions I have about this award show and about how we can use the power of music to re-inspire our wonder about space travel again, so that we can like go to Mars and all those other planets. I want to see that happen. And so let's keep this conversation going. All right. I'd love to be chatting with you all again next year.
Sounds great.
Hey, Ryan, can we ask you a quick question?
Yes. Yes, you can.
What astronaut are you most excited to celebrate on National Astronaut Day? Do you have a favorite astronaut who has inspired you?
Are you going? So can you give me like all of astronaut history?
Because like, well, I mean, is there a moment in space history that like really sticks out in your brain as being super cool? Could be recent, could be past. Just curious.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I have to go with the originals. I think, you know, you're talking about like Alan B. Shepard Jr., you know, Yuri Gagarin, like going all the way back to the, gosh, it's escaping my mind. Who was the astronaut who was the U.S. Senator from Ohio? John Glenn. Right.
Yep.
You know, the originals, because just imagine the audacity of somebody to be like the first person to say, hey, that vast open expanse that nobody's been to, we're not sure what's out there, and we've never actually successfully sent something that can bring a human back alive. I want to do that. I'm going to be the first one to do that. Just the boldness of it all is incredible to me. So like, yeah. I go right to, you know, Gagarin and, you know, John Glenn and Alan B. Shepard as just amazing people that, all the love to Neil Armstrong and Sally Ride and, you know, all of the people who carried the torch forward and continue to break boundaries in space flight. Just so many amazing things. And obviously all of the folks that you represent at Unify that get to play music with rock stars while flying through space. That's pretty rad too.
And Ryan, you brought something up that's interesting. So Alan Shepard, he's the reason why we picked May 5th, because on May 5th, 1961, at 9:34 a.m., Alan B. Shepard Jr. became the first U.S. astronaut. So that is the reason why National Astronaut Day is on May 5th, because that was the original flight on the Freedom 7 capsule.
I love that. See, this is why we have to bring you all back every year, because you're going to make us smarter and get us excited about space travel. Annie, Michelle, Dee Dee, this has been a blast. Thank you all so much for joining us on Break the Business.
Thanks, and we'll see you real soon. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, everybody, and we'll be back in 2 minutes with Mama B here on Break the Business. Break the Business is presented in cooperation with Ryan A. Carella, PA. Ryan A. Carella, PA is a law firm providing transactional entertainment legal services, including contracts, business formation, commercial law, copyright, trademark, and more. Ryan A. Carella, PA, Miami, Florida. rkpalaw.com.
Streaming services for Break the Business provided by LEK Entertainment. LEK Entertainment is a full-service entertainment company offering everything from consultations to full-scale events and productions, including audio and video productions, voiceovers, staged theatrical productions, script and music development, and streaming services. For more information, visit lekentertainment.com. LEK Entertainment wants to help you bring your story to life.
Thanks for supporting Break the Business. If you have a question or topic that you want us to discuss, email us at breakthebusiness@gmail.com. You can follow the host, that's me, on Twitter at Ryan K-A-I-R, and you can follow the show at the BTB Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, and on all major podcast platforms. And now, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Break the Business, everybody. Ryan Carella here with co-host Katie Zaccardi. Gosh, that was such a blast, Katie, getting to talk with Annie, Dee Dee, and Michelle from Unify, learning all about National Astronaut Day and the Astronaut Rockstar Awards. Did I nerd out too much? Did I slap the nerd on way too much and just completely freak out Katie Zaccardi there?
I think you nerded out the appropriate amount. And personally, I identify as a moon girly. So, like, you know, we love space. We love space. We love the stars. We love the astronauts. We're here for it.
Yeah, this is boy. Let me just peek behind the let the listeners peek behind the curtain here on something. When the Unify folks, when Annie, Dee Dee, and Michelle asked me who my favorite astronaut was, my brain just completely drew a blank. Because look, I love astronauts and I love space travel, and I think all of it's really, really fascinating. But like when I'm focused on music industry, like specific astronaut trivia is like a different section of my brain. And so like I needed time to like go through the file folders in my brain and like pull out the entries for astronauts Ryan liked back when he was 12 years old and actually knew the names of all of the astronauts. And so to like scramble for it, I'm glad I was able to pull out the names, but oh my God, my life flashed before my eyes there. I was like, oh God, if I don't remember the names of astronauts in front of the astronaut people, I'm going to have to quit radio.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't even asked the question. And I also was like, oh my God, do I even know what an astronaut is? Wait, how do I?
It's scary in the moment. I didn't know I was going to have to take a test.
Yeah, now I feel like I have to go study astronauts.
That's right. Well, we need to get back to like what our area of expertise is and get right back into music. And thankfully, we have a guest who's going to help us do that, Katie Zaccardi. Let's go ahead and bring out our guest this week, Mama B. Mama B. Our guest this week is a songwriter, children's music artist, and music industry executive. She's getting ready to release her new children's album, Imaginology, which drops on Mother's Day. You can find out more about our guest's work by checking her out on Instagram at Mama B Songs. We are happy to welcome Jack Anker, a.k.a. Mama B, on Break the Business. Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me. That intro song is like amazing. Is that you just do that on the spot?
Well, we do our best to make our guests that feel welcome around here. Although I will have to admit, we have to figure out our mechanics a little bit better, because right now the song plays for the guests, but we don't have like a graphics package that comes up on our TV product, and so like we just kind of have to like, you know, stand here and like dance for the 30 seconds while it's playing. Like we're gonna have to figure that out. But in the meantime, the audio product sounds good.
Yeah, I was like, am I supposed to come out? Am I supposed to have a dance to this? But I was feeling, I was liking your moves. Thank you for that.
Oh, bless you. Nobody likes my moves. Get out of here. Like, now you're just being overly flattering. So I have to start with this. Since you are a children's music artist, I am a new dad, which means I am now becoming fully acquainted with all things children's music. And while there are a lot of great children's music artists out there, up to and including Mama B, there's a lot of children's music out there that just makes parents like me want to tear their hair out. And, you know, and you're listening to it over and over. It just makes your ears bleed. And so when a song like Pufferfish makes its way into my life, the magnificent Mama B song Pufferfish off her new album Imaginology, which drops on Mother's Day, it is a godsend. I love Pufferfish, Mama B. It is absolute bop. I mean, I would have never
my dreams come true right now. Just keep going.
How does one think to make a children's, like, how does one think of, okay, a pufferfish? That is like the fish that like can inflate itself up like a balloon. How does one think I need to make a song for children out of that?
That is a great question. Okay, so yay, you're a new dad. That's amazing. That was me like a couple years ago when I was like a brand new parent and I'm like, there's gotta be more out here. Like I can't, I'm a music lover. I'm a songwriter. I love lyrics. I love voices. I was like, there's gotta be something that like checks all of those boxes. And there definitely is. You just have to search for it. But I was like, I got this. Like, I wanna get in the ring here. I know what I wanna make. So to answer your question, that Pufferfish song actually came as like a little bop to my like my first son, when I would just do like kind of the Pufferfish face, but I was doing it in like kind of like a rap. Like I was like, puff, puff, pufferfish, nothing like the other fish. Like I was doing something like that and he would like die laughing. So it was like those little sounds and I was like, okay, this is a song. And the inspiration for that song actually was one of my favorite songs that like always like hits it for me is the Harry Nilsson song, Coconuts, which is like, you know, also from Hocus Pocus, which is like an amazing movie. But you know, I put the lime in the coconut and da 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 da. It's such a bop and it makes you wanna go like this. I was like, yes, that for kids. Like, how do I make that? So that was how the song came to be.
Yeah, Pufferfish does make me kind of like wiggle in the same way that Coconuts does, for sure. I definitely get the similarities. And by the way, when you said Hocus Pocus, I saw Katie's eyes light up all the way from Nashville.
Katie, I do the calculations. I'm like, I think this is the song she's talking about, but like, is it? Let me just like figure it out. Yeah.
The original, I mean, did they do another one? I think they might have done another one.
They did do another one. Also, I've never actually talked to Katie about this directly, but I just know for a fact you like the movie Hocus Pocus, right, Katie?
I do, but you know what? I actually really only watched it for the first time last year.
That's an upset. We did like a whole show where we talked about Practical Magic. I thought you'd be all over Hocus Pocus. How did you miss out on that?
I also only watched Practical Magic for the first time last year. I don't know. Bad education on my part in terms of Halloween movies, I guess. But
that's okay. Don't worry, because Hocus Pocus is actually like kind of like disturbing for kids. Like it was not like the jam. Like it was a little scary for me when I watched it as a kid. I remember that. But I always remember that song from it. I was like, that was my takeaway with Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker jamming out to that like scene. I loved it.
That's really, really exciting. I've been a big fan of the guests that we've had in the children's music genre on Break the Business. We have been very fortunate to get to chat with a lot of really terrific children's music artists. And so you are just the latest in what's been a really cool subgenre for us. Cause I love talking with the children's music guests. They so often are indie creators. Cause I think it is one genre that lends itself well to indie creators. We had a guest on the show a couple years ago named Tim Kubart, who works with Postmodern Jukebox. I mean, he's one of the best in children's music. He won the Grammy Award for Best Children's Album, and it was an album that he made by himself in like his apartment in Brooklyn, right? And you hear so many more of those stories in children's music.
Yeah, that album had that like really cool name. I remember it was like a very long title of the name, but I remember looking him up and being like, oh, that's such as like an interesting name for the title.
I'm drawing a blank on it, just like I've drawn a blank on the astronaut names in the previous segment.
That's okay.
Producer Lauren, can you find the name of the Tim Kubart album for us? That's K-U-B-A-R-T, because now it's going to bother me until we figure it out. Anyway, sorry, keep going, Mama B.
But yes, to your point, it is like, it's a very DIY genre. I've learned so much about this genre. I didn't start off like being like, I'm gonna be a children's artist. Obviously, like, artists come from all different backgrounds and they find themselves in children's music, and some just start there from the beginning. But my route was through my own artist career, pop career, jazz career, just falling in love with like melody and lyrics. And I knew that I wanted to create a project that felt timeless to me, where I felt like it could be a little time capsule for my family to listen to, and maybe my boys would remember it and where they were and what phase of life they were in as they were listening to it, which was, you know, what does timeless mean? Just something for me, like to me, Rafi feels timeless. Like his lyrics, his voice is great. Like the songs, I actually didn't grow up listening to Rafi, but as adult, I've like become very familiar with his music. And the songwriting is just so great. And I found a lot of other children's artists where like the artistry is amazing and everyone's doing it completely on their own.
See, now you're making producer Lauren's eyes light up, because Lauren, who happens to be my sister, so I grew up with her, I know for a fact, I mean, Rafi is probably not one of her favorite children's artists, but probably one of her favorite musicians, period. completely immersed in his fabulous catalog. And so it does not shock me in the slightest that you'd find inspiration in his music as a fellow children's artist.
But you'd be so, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised as a dad. Like you become a parent and then your whole world becomes just like finding like little treasures that light up your kids, right? And I did the same. I was like, what's out there? What content speaks to me as a parent that I'm okay with playing on repeat? Because, you know, the mentality is again, again, again. Like, so you got to be like, once you're going to introduce something that they may like, you have to be very careful that it's like content that you like.
Yeah.
So that was my whole goal, is like, okay, I'm going to love every single one of these songs that I write. And I'm going to be able to listen to this and it's going to be palatable for me. Even 10 years, 20 years from now, I'm like, let's make it as good as we can. Let's get all the best musicians in the room together. Let's get the best producer I can. And let's level up.
I love it. Now, since you are, you know, on the cusp of about to release this album, and we've already established that children's artists are often so good at getting their music out there and promoting it effectively as DIY artists, I want to kind of use this album release as a window for other artists to kind of learn some lessons about how to manage their own DIY releases effectively. So can you tell us a little bit about what are some of the things that you're doing for your new album, Imaginology, to help promote this music, to help get it out there? And maybe we can teach artists that are listening right now a few lessons along the way.
Sure. I mean, I think like knowing your business is so, so important. Everything from the creative to, more importantly, you know, the business behind how you're monetizing it. Obviously, artists don't get into the business because, you know, maybe some do, a lot do, maybe that they think they're just gonna, you know, cash in right away, but it's a long game. So be prepared for that. And my approach in the children's genre is exactly the same, if not even a little bit more elevated than when I was like releasing my own like pop records. Because for me, what is so interesting about this space in the children's music is, like I was saying, it's like, it's evergreen content, or it can be, right? It is music that it's not single based, where it's like you put out a record, you put out a single, and then as soon as you put it out, it's done, it's over, next single comes out. With children's music, it is, you can actually still put out like a project and it can stand the test of time.
It's new to the babies.
Right. And it's always evergreen. Right. So I was really thoughtful on the team that I put together for this. And first and foremost, I wanted to put together the best songs I possibly could. I took a very long time. I didn't rush the process. And once I had the album together, I really just thought about what my rollout plan was, very meticulously, who's the best distributor I can get that really leans into the children's genre. And really just took it step by step, put the team together. And also I found some, I mean, I've worked in the music industry for a long time. I have a collection of amazing friends, and a lot of them are parents now. And so everyone was like, oh my gosh, you're doing this. It's so cool. Like, how can I get involved? It became like a community project in that way, where obviously there's not unlimited budgets for any of it. So a lot of friends jumped in being like, hey, I love this. I believe in this. You know, here's my skill set. What can I do to help?
So now, Katie, what was interesting about Mama B's answer there is it implied what I think is one of the most important lessons to teach independent creators, and something that I'm sure you talk to artists a lot about in your consulting work, which is there really is no such thing as a DIY artist, right? There, I mean, even a quote unquote DIY artist like Mama B is not doing it herself. She's got a lot of friends that she has, you know, when she's got an album coming out, she knows how to bring those people together to help her bring this magnificent piece of art into the world, whether it's the producer she works with, the songwriter she works with, the industry people she's working with to help bring this thing to life. You know, it really does take a village, even with a quote unquote DIY album.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you relied on your network a little bit. And actually, one of my favorite things that you said was that you sought out the distributor that was like leaning into children's music the most. I don't know why, but I feel like that alone is so powerful, of being like, I know what my project is and I want to specifically work with people who are like all in for supporting this type of thing. Because I feel like a lot of musicians, you know, children's or not, are just kind of like, I'll take what I can get. Like, I will just, like, whatever, I'll just do whatever comes to me first, or whatever makes sense. But you seemed like you were so intentional with every single step of this process, which I'm sure contributes to the success of it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I think being intentional, of course, like, the plan was not, like, I didn't sit down and be like, this is the plan, let's go. Like, it definitely pivoted, we changed. It still felt very overwhelming when I kind of like was like, okay, I have this like beautiful body of work to me. Like, what's the best way I can set myself up for success? And like, sometimes you can have the best team in the business and like, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, it's just like, but at least you're putting yourself together, putting yourself in a position to meet the opportunity, which was like important to me with this project. Cause I feel so excited because it's the first time that I have like a full body of work. It's 12 songs. And the collaborators on this project, they're my favorite people to work with, period. Children's genre or not.
We dig that. For the artists out there who are feeling the call of children's music, who want to create this kind of stuff, so that my son has more great music to listen to, what advice would you give those people? For the people who want to get started in this field, do you have any initial starting advice for them?
Absolutely. Like, Katie, something you said was kind of like finding out who the teams are that, like, first, I would say, backing up, identify who resonates with you. So if it's Tim Kubart, or for me, what got me into it was there's this amazing songwriter that I just love, full stop. His name's Daniel Tashin. He does all of the, he's behind all the Casey Musgraves albums. And I was like,
Slay.
Right. Like, wrote Rainbow, like all of those amazing songs.
Oh, my, I can cry. I love Rainbow.
And then Pivot, he releases a couple children's albums with his daughters. And of course, I mean, like, you don't even have to hear it to know it's going to be amazing, just knowing the kind of songwriter he is. So I was like looking at that. I was looking at his project. I hadn't released anything yet. And I was like, oh, who's his publicist? Okay. Like, let's do a little research there. Like, how did he distribute that? Like I just started identifying different people that were doing it well. And I was like, let's look into this. Like, I just started kind of sneaking around and looking like at what they were doing on socials and on DSPs, and then kind of, you know, making my own plan based on that.
Our guest has been Mama B. She's got her new children's album, Imaginology, coming up, drops on Mother's Day. I should let you know, Mama B, the last two children's artists we had on Break the Business both wound up winning the Grammy for Best Children's Album. So
No,
I was thinking it more of like, you know, this show's kind of a good luck charm. Like, we're putting that out into the universe for you.
I'm gonna take that, Ryan. I'm gonna put that in.
It's or just we the, just like or we just set a really high bar for you
here in Break the Business.
This has been a real treat. So glad that we were able to connect, and, you know, please don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you on again real soon. But before we let you go, got one last question for you. Do you have any last tips for the indie creators out there to help them move their careers forward?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I guess this might be a little like the opposite of what we were talking about, but like when it comes to releasing music, don't think too hard. Like, you know, you can, it's just a process. Like, put out music, see how it goes, put out something again, make a plan, of course. Don't just put it out there with no plan, but just keep putting things out. Because I think all of us can relate to having a million songs on our hard drives that like never see the light of day. I'm such a victim of that. And if I could go back, I would have just like let myself off the hook and just started putting music out.
Oh, great insight. Thank you so much, Mama B. Thank you for your great work. Thank you for Pufferfish. Best of luck with the album release. Looking forward to chatting with you again real soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
That's Mama B, everybody. You can follow her on Instagram at Mama B Songs. Before we close this week, Katie, we got a little special treat for the viewers and listeners out there. We got a little bit of a musical ending to our show this week. A terrific band named Just Seconds Apart has a song that we're going to close the show with. The song is called Old Cartoons. And the reason why I want to bring this band to everybody's attention is that this is a really cool group. So the reason why they're called Just Seconds Apart is that the band consists of Sila, Ari, and Alex Paulos, who are triplets that were literally born just seconds apart from each other. So it's a band of sibling triplets who, you know, perform together. They are amazing. They sound incredible. The songs are awesome. They're very popular on TikTok and YouTube and all those social platforms right now, which is where I came across them. They're currently on tour right now with Jesse McCartney. And so if you like what you're about to listen to, you can check them out on tour. They're probably coming to your town. And I am always excited at the opportunity to bring really cool indie artists to our audience so that we can hopefully get those folks more support. So we're going to play that song right here on the show. But before we go, just want to say our thanks to Mama B, to Annie, Dee Dee, and Michelle from the Unify Space Agency. Thanks to you, Katie Zaccardi. Awesome as always. Thanks to producer Lauren, and thanks to all of you viewers and listeners for checking out Break the Business. Here's Old Cartoons by Just Seconds Apart. We'll see you next week.
Tell me a story you love, a story you live again. I said, oh, she left me a strength and dog.
mistakes.